Charles Spurgeon, Part 6. I see now in vision a company of men gathering herbs along the slopes of the seven hills of Rome. With mystic rites they cull those ancient plants, whose noxious influence once drugged our fathers into deadly slumbers. They are compounding again the cup of Rome's ancient sorcery, and saying, "Here is the universal medicine, the great Catholic remedy." I see them pouring their belladonna, monkshood, and deadly henbane into the great pot forever simmering on the papal hearth. Think you the nations are to be healed by this accursed amalgam? Will not the end be as in the days of the prophets, when one gathered wild gourds, and they cried out, "There is death in the pot"? Aye, indeed, so it will he, even though Oxford and Canterbury set their seal upon the patent medicine. Come, ye brave sons of protesting fathers. Come and overturn this witch's cauldron, and spill it back into the hell, for which alone it is fit. If we had 1,000 men who would preach nothing but Christ and live nothing but Christ, what would the world see? 1,000? Nay, give us but 12 men on fire with the love of Jesus, and if they would preach Christ out and out and through, and nothing else, the world would know a change before long. We should hear again the cry, "The men that turn the world upside down have come hither also." You can scarcely meet with a man who does not call himself a Christian, and yet it is equally hard to meet with one who is in the very marrow of his bones thoroughly sanctified to the good work of the kingdom of heaven. We meet with professors by hundreds, but we must expect still to meet with possessors by units. The whole nation appears to have been Christianized in an hour. But is this real? Is this sincere? Ah! We fear not. How is it that professors can live like other men? How is it that there is so little distinction between the church and the world? Ah! We have abundance of cold, calculating Christians, multitudes of professors, but where are the zealous ones? Where are the leaders of the children of God? Where are your heroes who stand in the day of battle? Where are your men who count not their lives dear unto them, that they might win Christ and be found in him? Where are those who have an impassioned love for souls? How many of our pulpits are filled by earnest, enthusiastic preachers? Alas! Look at the church. She has builded herself fine palaces, imitating popery. She hath girded herself with vestments. She has gone astray from her simplicity, but she has lost the fire and the life which she once had. The salt of the earth are now the offscouring of all things. Men whom God has loved, and who have attained a high standing in godliness, these are the men who will not bow the knee to Baal, and who therefore are cast into the fiery furnace of persecution and slander. Look at the Church of England. Her articles are pure and right in most respects, yet see how her garments are defiled. She hath made the queen her head instead of God, she bows before the state, and worships the golden calf that is set up before her. Ask them whether they can spend an hour in meditation upon Christ. I beseech you, examine and cross-examine your own souls, and see whether ye be in the path. For it will go ill with you if ye shall find at last that ye were in the church, but not of it, that ye make a profession of religion, but it was only a cloak for your hypocrisy if ye should have entered into his courts below, and be shut out of the courts above. Let us learn to read our Bibles with our eyes open, to study them as men do the works of great artists, studying each figure, and even each sweet variety of light and shade. Grace reigns indeed with high control when it leads men who naturally would be selfish to practice liberality in the cause of the Redeemer. If Satan accuse you, and your enemies with loud-mouthed accusations cry out against you, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will certainly plead your cause and clear you. At the last great day, the Lord will justify his grace before the eyes of the whole universe. For he will allow the grace-wrought virtues of his chosen ones to be unveiled, and all eyes shall see that grace reigns through righteousness.